It's To the Best of Our Knowledge, and Strange Champs is out this week. I'm Sarah Nix. With all the talk about podcasts, we're wondering about the future of listening. Where else to start but with the sound of cereal? More precisely, it's the sound of a podcast listening party. One December afternoon, a bunch of people gathered in a conference room to listen to the final episode of the breakout hit podcast, Cereal. It's not actually about breakfast foods, but anyhow. It was launched last fall by some producers from This American Life, and by the end of its 12-episode run, it had been heard more than 5 million times through iTunes alone.
And it's become this phenomenon. There are listening parties all over the country.
Sitting in that conference room felt a bit like being in one of those old photographs. You know, the ones where there's a family gathered in the parlor to listen to a radio drama.
So I'll just start here.
We don't really do that anymore. Now people are more likely to obsess about the next season of Game of Thrones or Sherlock, which they can watch when they like, thanks to streaming services like Netflix. That on-demand streaming is available for audio, too, and it could be that listening is again becoming central to our lives. Unlike traditional broadcast radio, smartphones and podcasts make it possible for us to hear what we want, when we want. And some people are placing their bets on the power of podcasting.
Good morning, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That's Alex Blumberg. You may know him from such shows as This American Life and Planet Money. Last year, he left his job in public radio to launch a podcast production business. I wanted to talk to him about why he's setting out on his own and about the Cereal effect.
From where we thought we were 3 months ago to where we are now, everything is different. Like, Cereal has done so much work to raise the profile of podcasting. And now, like, you know, there's a hashtag after Cereal. There's now, I don't know, a couple million people who know about podcasts who didn't know about them before and are looking for things to listen to. So we feel like we should try to meet that new demand more quickly than we had originally imagined.
So,
right?
so let us back up.
Yeah.
And can you please explain what you're setting out to do?
I'm setting out to launch a media company focusing on narrative audio, journalism, as well as other kinds of narrative audio programming. I guess, you know, I worked for a long time at This American Life. And then while at This American Life, I co-founded Planet Money, which is a podcast about business and economics. And I ran Planet Money for a long time, for several years at NPR. And I had a chance to observe sort of what was happening with the podcasts, you know, at Planet Money and at This American Life. The podcasts of those shows were growing tremendously and attracting new listeners every day, every month. Ad revenues were increasing and just sort of excitement in general was increasing about it, about the form. Creatively, it feels like wonderful and sort of like expansive in a way that, you know, a new medium, I guess, sort of feels like. And it's very popular. Like, people are adopting it at rapid rates. So we should make more of this kind of programming. So that was the original idea for the company, is sort of raise some money and start creating programs.
So you're starting this business, and at the same time, you're making a podcast about starting the business. It's called Startup. And there's this great moment in it when your partner, Matt Lieber, is explaining to some potential investors what a podcast is, because not everybody knows. Let's listen to that.
Podcasts, what they are is they're digital audio files that you download from typically straight to either to your computer and then to your phone or straight to your phone now. So
are they always recorded or are they ever broadcast live?
By nature recorded because it's a discrete file that you download.
But everyone in the group was familiar with radio, both public radio and other examples of broadcasting excellence, namely Howard Stern. By the way, that's what's so great about podcasting. It's the same thing that Howard Stern has grown into, like, whatever it is, $500 million contract with Sirius. It's like that intimacy. You're there with him. You're having this really intimate conversation with
him. Was that, coming from a public radio background, kind of a reality check for you? Did you assume that everybody kind of knew what a podcast was?
Intellectually, I knew that not everybody knew what a podcast was. And intellectually, I knew that there were lots of people out there for whom this was a totally foreign concept. But yeah, it was a bit of a reality check. It was just one reality check among, you know, sort of several hundred that were happening every single day. But yes.
Right. Well, so what kind of research and how do you even go about researching the potential growth of podcast listenership? You must believe that there are a host of ears out there waiting for good content. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah. So what you do is you take data that's out there and then you try to extrapolate trends from that data. And the data that we knew about were, you know, sort of like domestically in the United States, how many people listen to the radio. And it's a lot. It's like 240 million people listen every week. They listen for 10 to 12 hours a week. And then you extrapolate. So, you know, so most of that listening happens in cars. But as cars become more capable of playing on-demand digital, you figure like some percentage of those people are going to start listening on-demand, the same thing that's happening in TV. And then you add on top of that the fact that now everybody in the world essentially has a smartphone or an audio-capable phone anyway. And we're all walking around with earbuds wherever we go. So there's all this additional time that is available for listening that wasn't before. So that was sort of, it wasn't like we had hard data. We had a story that we believed that was constructed from data.
And so if you were to project out like 5 years, what do you see as the podcast listener numbers?
In the U.S. alone, I hesitate to say, but right now it's something like, I don't know, 40 million people have listened to a podcast. I don't know. In 5 years, could that double? I think easily.
So, you know, about 10 years ago, not quite 10 years ago, I was working for a little public radio station in Maine, and I did this story about podcasting along the lines of like, wow, there's this thing people are doing in their basements and they're making a living at it. And they were probably making a couple $1,000 a month, maybe,
right,
in ad revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably still true for a lot of podcasts out there. I mean, a lot of those original 10-year-old podcasts are still new episodes are being put out. But that kind of $2,000 a month thing is not what you're talking about, right?
No. I think some of those podcasts have grown into legitimate businesses in an enterprise that employs people and pays health care. And I think, you know, sort of one of the quintessential stories along those lines is Roman Mars and the podcast 99% Invisible.
And his podcast is a kind of about design in our lives.
It's about design. It's sort of a story narrative-based podcast about design. It's really cool. Like, it's a great podcast. But also, it is the example of sort of like a guy who started in his basement or whatever and has grown this enterprise into not like a huge thing, but like he's got a staff now of a couple people and they're paying, you know, they have salaries and they have benefits and I would imagine that it's going to continue to grow. And my hope was to sort of like be an incubator for people like that and help get their audiences bigger so that you don't have to take 5 years to do it, but we'll pay you the salary right now and we'll grow it together. You know, we can sort of do it in a matter of months, get to that sort of level. And if we do that a bunch of times, then we're talking about a fairly large scale business.
Yeah. And one of the things that, going back to that story about discovering podcasts 9 years ago, when I imagine the majority of podcasts out there, I don't think of Roman Mars. I think of poorly recorded idle conversations that are not terribly interesting, and people seem to really want higher quality podcasts. How much is that quality control, that production value, part of what you're setting out to do?
Oh, I mean, that's our entire strategy. We're doing something that I don't think anybody really is doing in the space right now, which is for our first three shows, we come out of the gate with a staff of three people, you know, and we put an editorial system in place where we go through several edits before they come out. And the editorial side to me is the most important thing.
So the kinds of stories you're telling and how you're telling them.
The kinds of stories we're telling and how we're telling them and sort of the care we're taking to sort of craft them into things that are engaging to as wide an audience as possible. And it seems like the market rewards the highly produced, highly edited ones. Like if you look at the top of iTunes, most of them are ones that people have put a lot of thought into creating the content. And those are the ones that are rewarded with a large audience. So that's also sort of the bet we're making, is that if we put a lot of time and effort and care into crafting our shows and thinking about them editorially, that we will be rewarded with audience.
So you believe the audience potential is out there? The other basic business plan question, I guess, is competition. I mean, who do you see as competition for listeners?
Well, right now, I don't see anybody as competition because I feel like we're in the very, and honestly, like we're in the very beginning here where if I'm right and the audience grows from 40 million to 80 million, there is plenty to go around. We are nowhere near saturated. So let's just take the print journalism world, you know, and compare it to audio. You know, in print journalism, you have newspapers, you have magazines, you have specialty magazines, you have women's magazines, men's magazines, you have sports magazines, you have auto magazines. And in every category, you have 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 different entrants. And then let's look at audio. You have essentially 1 or 2 national newspapers in you know, NPR and Marketplace and a couple of these other ones. And then you have like...
Slate.
Yeah. And then you have a couple of like... you know, policy discussion shows. And then you have like a couple of sort of the equivalent of like a magazine. And then you don't really have anything else. There's like music shows, but there's not like a music journalism narrative audio product. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of opportunity. And I think 10 years from now, 12 years from now, I think, you know, we'll be in the world that the print world is in right now, where like one of the only ways to find your own audience is to steal it from somebody else. But I don't think we're there yet in audio.
Well, and public radio is getting into the podcast game. Not only are public radio stations podcasting shows that they're already airing, but they're also launching podcast-only programs. Are they competition for you, or do you again just feel like there's so much space, I'm not worried?
I feel like there's so much space, I'm not worried. I think they're going to find listeners who have never heard of podcasting, and those listeners are going to be like, oh, I like this podcast, I'm looking for other ones. And then those people will discover us, and we'll do the same for other people. You know, we're all just trying to like say, hey, there's this thing out here, and you guys should all check it out. And the more of us doing good stuff there is, the better that is for all of us.
That's Alex Bloomberg, the podcast he's making about launching a podcast production company. It's called Startup.